relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Well, I think that Biden clearly feels subordinate to Barack Obama. I mean, partly because for 8 years he was the vice president, you understand that. Partially because, you know, Barack Obama is a compelling figure, and he's all there. Biden has all these strange moments of cognitive confusion. On the other hand, you have in Kamala Harris a person who, to the best of our knowledge, has no capacity for learning, no capacity for leading a team, and no capacity for representing the United States. So of the three figures, Barack Obama is the most compelling, the most articulate, and I think the most successful in terms of achieving what he wanted to achieve. And I think that there's a certain natural intimidation, if you will. Obama's dynamic. He's open. Biden on a good day is sort of dull, and on a bad day is just hopeless.
On a bad day is just hopeless. Welcome, dear friends. Greetings. This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, on the Salem Radio Network. Had to share that with you because yesterday, perhaps one of the most viral videos of Slow Joe, sleepy, creepy Beijing Biden walking. Could you imagine? Could you imagine being the president of the United... I'm not talking, you know, the prime minister of Belgium. I'm talking about president of the United States in the White House and at your own party, and you're just walking around like you just escaped the loony asylum. The door was left open at the old people's home, and you're just bouncing off the furniture trying to get people to look at you as everybody's clamoring to touch the hem of the anointed one, Obama. Absolutely incredible and embarrassing. But that's where we are. Who said elections have consequences? Yeah. And as the Baron says, stolen elections have catastrophic consequences. All right, guys, so much to pack in today. Congressman Matt Gaetz, Trish Regan, Jennifer Horn, and a stunning guest for the third hour. You don't want to miss a nanosecond. The man who lit up America with his speech from the pulpit. It is, of course, Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson, on the transgender diabolical plan to subvert our children. But let me give you a personal story first. So I think I told you guys that had a little work done at my house. I told the team, I don't know if I told you guys, had a little work done at my house. I have a den, it's not a man cave because it's not in the basement, it's above the garage. It's where I keep all my toys that irritate my wife, some of my guns that aren't in the safe, and then smoke my cigars with my son. That gets a little smelly after a while. And I went to a bar in New Hampshire that had these amazing smoke extraction fans with carbon filters, but I needed electricians to fit them into the ceiling. My wife found one of the best-reviewed ones, and yesterday, Jason and his colleague came, fitted them, drilled it out, working beautifully, tested it last night, a couple of big stogies. And then afterwards, my wife gets this email. And it's not about me. Ignore the parts about me. I'm going to read it verbatim. It's about the man who wrote it and his sister. Hey, Katie. Just wanted to touch base to ensure you that after our team left today, everything went smoothly. And thank you for your business. It was a pleasure to learn that your husband has and is playing such a big role in helping get this once amazing country of ours back to where it once was. I had a feeling the name rang a bell, but didn't think much of it until I did a quick search online and found an interview he had done with Dr. Ben Carson, which I sent the link of to at least 100 people, LOL. As I mentioned to your husband this morning, Dr. Carson is a very important person to our family. My sister was born with a very complex neurological disease, and after multiple doctors told my parents that their daughter would not have a long life expectancy, they continued to search and fortunately found Dr. Carson. He told them he would never stop trying and do whatever it took to give her a happy and healthy life. 28 years and 140 plus surgeries later, she's happy and healthy with a full life expectancy. I brought your husband a tie. Joseph A. Banks had some of the local hospital patients' design, which has my sister's name on the back. And jokingly mentioned that the next time he talks to Dr. Carson, he should send a picture of the tie, as knowing Dr. Ben, which is what my sisters and I call him, would get a kick out of it. Your husband instantly was like, oh, I'll have to reach out to him today. And let me tell you, when I told my sister Emily that a friend, a colleague of Dr. Carson's, was going to reach out to him and show him her tie, it was probably one of the happiest moments she's had in the last few years. Our electrical company was started back in 1996, 2 years after my sister was born. And at the time, my father was a loyal union electrician. However, after having to take a day off multiple times a month to be there for his daughter's surgery, he had to be let go from over six different job sites. Knowing he had a family to support and needed a job that gave him the flexibility to be there when he needed to be for his family, he took a risk, he took a chance, and started our company. Now, 26 years later, we are still here and have no plans on going anywhere anytime soon. It's been a stressful few years for everyone, especially for our small business owners, with the way things have so quickly worsened. However, it is very comforting to know that we have amazing people like you and your husband and many others fighting the good fight to hopefully restore this once amazing country back to where it once was. With that being said, as a thanks to your family's service to the country and close working relationship with Dr. Ben Carson, we would like to take a portion of the invoice from today and donate $200 to the Ben Carson Foundation and then another $200 to a charity of you and your husband's choosing. If you have any additional questions or if we can assist you in any way, here is my cell number. Signed, Matt. I'm not going to give out the name of his family or the company, but I wanted to share that with you because that's America in so many ways. Number one, the thoughtfulness. I'm wearing Emily's tie right now. She designed it. It's got the bunny that was in the ICU that was used to comfort the children coming out of surgery. Thank you, Emily. Thank you, Jason. And that letter and that story is a testament to the thoughtfulness of the man who brought me that tie as his electricians were working on my house. And it's a testament to the American spirit. First, Dr. Carson. After that girl, after her parents were told she's going to die, he said, that will not happen. That's the American spirit. Indomitable. I will not let your daughter die. And 140 plus surgeries later, 26 years later, she is a healthy young woman. Secondly, it is a testament to the American spirit. They built a company and they're going strong, even after 2 years of the COVID insanity and fascism from the likes of Fauci. They are committed to the American way. God bless you, Jason. God bless your parents. God bless Emily, especially, and your sisters. And God bless Dr. Ben Carson. And God bless our nation. Oh, and by the way, we're not letting him make that donation. We're timesing it by 10, and we are making those donations. My wife's told me, you got to listen to the boss. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Be sure you are subscribed to our podcast. Go to Spotify. Punch in my name, Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe today. Write a review. Share the links. Never miss a second. This is the Salem Radio Network.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. I am Governor Spencer Cox, and I have the pleasure today of hosting the first One Utah student town hall. And my preferred pronouns are he, him, and his.
I think your preferred pronouns are loser, snowflake, and cuckold. I've never heard of Spencer Cox before. He is allegedly the Republican governor of Utah, and he has preferred pronouns. How did that happen in our grand old party, and how did it happen in the military? Let's talk to a man who has been on fire on the floor of the Congress. He is from Florida's 1st Congressional District. Matt Gaetz, welcome to America First.
Thanks so much for having me. And my preferred pronouns are brilliant and handsome.
Brilliant? Oh, no, hang on. I thought it's firebrand and handsome.
I'll take, you know what? Who says you can't have three?
Three. There you go. Three pronouns. Okay, let's get serious. This is just a little clip of what Congressman Matt Gaetz, firebrand, has been up to. Cut to.
We got time to embrace critical race theory at West Point, to embrace socialism at the National Defense University, to do mandatory pronoun training.
Again, this is the most capable, the most combat credible force in the world. It has been, and it will be so going forward.
Not if we continue down this path. Not if we embrace socialism.
The fact that you're embarrassed by your country.
I'm embarrassed by your leadership. I am not embarrassed for my country.
That is the Secretary of Defense insulting the patriotism of a member of Congress. I guess you got under his skin, Matt Gaetz.
Well, I had very direct questions. Why are we teaching socialism at the National Defense University? Why are we embracing critical race theory at West Point? Why are we taking time away from training on, you know, jumps and munitions and capabilities and requiring training for pronouns? And while all of this is happening, our adversaries aren't doing the same thing. They aren't stuck. China is fielding hypersonic weapon systems with global strike capability, and we're still in research and development on that. And so I wanted to understand how, in the $773 billion budget proposed by the Biden administration for defense, they were actually going to get better at this, Seb. And I'm so glad to be talking to you about it, because you actually are the former associate dean at the National Defense University. You understand the importance of these institutions to actually get strategic thinkers and people who understand how to win in the high levels of our national security apparatus. And you can't help but wonder whether or not some of the blown calls from the Biden administration on Ukraine, on Afghanistan, in some way emanate from this lean into wokeism and away from winning.
Yeah, I was very glad to hear that you're going to have him in front of your committee and that we could share with you the articles that we managed to help with at Breitbart and elsewhere when it comes to the teaching of socialism at the institution I used to be a part of. There is a moment, and we're going to post the whole video right now on our Twitter and Facebook pages. There is a moment where it gets even more heated, and you ask the question about hypersonics. And the Secretary of Defense, former four-star, says... we get a bit of echo there. He says he questions your right to know these kinds of things and seems to forget that you are briefed behind closed doors on the state of national security. Let me ask the very serious question, Congressman Gates. Is there an attempt to undermine civilian control of the military when you know what's going on, but the Secretary of Defense wants to deny our weakness?
I think it's more a willingness on the part of the Secretary of Defense to deny the competitive reality that we find ourselves in to cover for his own failures. I think that's really the dynamic that we saw play out. I mean, when the Secretary of Defense sits down and tells you something that is the direct opposite of what we just heard, yeah, in briefings from his officials, it really, really raises the core questions of competence.
You are calling us in the break. You said you're calling us from the members' cloakroom. You're waiting to participate in a vote, and we're very grateful for you to joining us live today. You're going to be with us for my Newsmax show on Sunday as well to continue the discussion. Tell us what you are waiting to vote on, Congressman.
Democrats are advancing legislation to hold Peter Navarro and Dan Scavino, two former Trump administration officials who are terrific, in contempt of Congress because they did not participate in the unconstitutional sham kangaroo court star chamber that is the January 6th committee. And so I will be voting against holding those people in contempt of Congress. Peter Navarro and Dan Scavino are American patriots. They were among the very best that we had in the Trump administration. I'm proud to have worked with both of them on a number of really important projects that advanced the Trump agenda. But what this forecast said is that this is the midterm strategy. I mean, Democrats can't run on the economy. They can't run on foreign policy. They can't run on doing anything to improve the lives of Americans. Everyone is seeing the crippling consequences of inflation. And so they're going to run on January 6th. They're going to run on the fact that anyone who doesn't accept their worldview is somehow an insurrectionist and a danger to democracy. And you continue to see that play out in the theatrics that has replaced actual legislating. I mean, this month, Seb, I think 400,000 to 500,000 people are coming across our border illegally.
Yeah.
400,000 to 500,000. And instead of planning for that, preparing for it, stopping it with every tool at our disposal, we're here arguing over the, you know, deputy chief of staff and trade advisor of a prior administration that's not even in power anymore.
But here's the political question I think most of our millions of listeners would have for you if they were here in studio. Is this going to work? We have 18% of Biden voters say they would not have voted for Slow Joe if they'd known the Hunter story, the Hunter Biden laptop story. How are they going to win the election on January the 6th hysteria? Or is it a question of them not having to win because they can steal it again?
Well, they're betting on fear being a motivator. But what I think people are most afraid of is one more second under this Democrat control in the House and Senate and in the White House. What people really fear is not being able to buy food and medicine and gas because of the crippling policies of this administration. Instead, they're going to try to replace that fear with this notion that, you know, your neighbor with a MAGA flag may be storming into your house at any moment. And I just don't think that's going to work. Now, you are right. The Democrats put more time and thinking into the mechanics of the voting process.
Yeah.
Than Republicans. And frankly, the Republican National Committee needs to do more there. I mean, we had the better candidate. We had the better campaign. Biden had the better lawyers in 2020, and that resulted in them having the ability to place him in power. And so I'm hopeful that our party apparatus will do more to focus on not just why people vote, but how people vote.
Well, as long as you got people like you there, we've got a shot. Get back to that vote. Help protect Peter and Dan, great Americans, stalwart members, one of the handful of individuals that was actually MAGA in the White House. The book is Firebrand. The podcast is Firebrand. Follow him at Matt Gaetz. This is America First. If you haven't done so already, check out our Stand With Israel tour. Join us for 2 weeks in the Holy Land this winter. Go to StandWithIsraelTour.com or call 855-565-5519. That's StandWithIsraelTour.com.
America First are brought to you in part by the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews.
It's a big man who can admit when he's made a mistake. And it's really big when a country can admit it. Israel has said, we got it wrong with the COVID, vaccinating everybody, demanding vaccination passports. And they said, mea culpa, we got it wrong. And that's why we're going to Israel this November for 10 days with my Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife, Debbie, for the Stand With Israel tour. Even if you've been to Israel, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Go to the places that you've read about in the Bible. We'll be right there standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, right there, the Temple Wall in Jerusalem, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Don't miss this amazing trip. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm going. Reserve your places right now. Call 855-565-5519 or just go to StandWithIsraelTour.com. That's 855-565-5519, StandWithIsraelTour.com. Look, I see myself as a bit of a neophyte still. It's great to have people like Mr. G at my back because I'm pretty new to this side of the microphone. I've been listening to radio since I was a kid, but I've only been producing it. What do they call us? Are we the talent, Jeff? Is that what we are?
Yeah.
The talent. I've only been a quote unquote, I hate that phrase. I sound like a prostitute. I'm the talent for the last 3 years. So I think one of the things you're not supposed to do is talk about other shows. You're supposed to live in this kind of la, 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 there are no other radio shows, only mine. It's kind of corporate mindset. But that stinks. That's silly. And I listen to WMAL sometimes. Sorry, Phil. Because I've been living in the swamp for 13 years now. And I love Chris Plant. I love Larry O'Connor. But I hate Cumulus. Why? Because of the guest we have in studio. She is the Washington editor for The Spectator, Amber Athey. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
You nailed it.
Athey.
Thank you.
All right. And until recently, what were you doing at the godforsaken 4 a.m. slot at WMAL?
Yeah, that's true. I would get there around 4:30 every day. I'd host the 5 to 9 a.m. morning drive time show alongside Larry O'Connor, actually, twice a week. I was one of the rotating co-hosts on the O'Connor and Company program with Patrice Onwuka and Julie Gunlock. And every Wednesday and Thursday, I'd go in and I would co-host the show. And I was doing that for 6 months until March 9th, I got a little phone call from Cumulus executives. And they were letting me know that I had been terminated, effective immediately, over a tweet that I had sent making fun of Kamala Harris's outfit.
Okay, so did you say something racist? Did you say she should be in chains? Don't forget that her great-great-grandfather was the biggest slave owner on the island of Jamaica. That's just a little reminder of who she hails from. What did you say? Did you say she should be killed? What was the joke that you tweeted?
Yeah, I wish it were anything as edgy as that, because then I would at least feel like maybe I deserved what happened to me. But the tweet was sent on March 1st, which was the night of the State of the Union. And as everyone, I'm sure, remembers, she was wearing this god-awful brown suit.
It was like in a thrift store, they wouldn't sell it for a dollar.
And she paid thousands of dollars for it like an idiot.
and the color matched exactly what?
UPS uniforms.
The UPS, which aren't exactly sexy. And there we have it. There we have the tweet. Kamala looks like a UPS employee. What did you say? What can
Brown do for you?
Which is the catchphrase of UPS. What can Brown do for you?
Referring to the uniforms.
Yes.
And then my response to that rhetorical question was absolutely nothing, apparently. Obviously referring to the fact that Kamala is probably the least effective politician and public policy maker in the past, I don't know, 2 decades.
Maybe human history.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I would accept that.
Makes Dan
too.
Quayle look like Napoleon. I'm sorry. I mean, Kamala Harris makes Dan Quayle look like Genghis Khan. So you posted that, and then you lost your job 6 days later.
What's interesting about the way this all shook out is when I first sent the tweet, nobody cared. Everybody was just kind of laughing along with this sort of obvious joke that I made. I didn't think it was my most original or funniest joke. I mean, I'm a woman. What can you expect? But I did my best, and you know, some people liked it, and it was getting some decent traction among friends. And then,
but was anybody calling in the lame, streamlined legacy press that this woman must be tarred and feathered?
No, not yet. So what happened was, a few days later, there were these protests at the University of North Texas, and the protests were going against this guy who wanted to criminalize medical transitions for children that are transgender.
You mean to stop the mutilation of children?
Correct.
Okay.
To save,
must be a good guy.
To save children from abuse.
Right.
And brainwashing.
So they're protesting against this man who's protecting children.
Right. So
okay,
I,
and how does that connect to you?
I spoke out in favor of this guy, and a bunch of activists, including this freelance journalist for the Rolling Stone, Daily Beast, Yahoo News, who later was on the video with Steven Crowder getting absolutely destroyed over this exact issue, screenshotted the Kamala tweet, posted it up, claimed that "What can Brown do for you" was referring to her skin color, fired off a bunch of emails to Cumulus, and then it was a week later after that that I was fired. So I wasn't even really fired because I sent the tweet. It was because a bunch of radical gender activists,
yeah, haters,
decided that I needed to be silenced for speaking out in favor of children, and so they manufactured this idea of me being a racist so that I would lose my job.
And tell us about that phone call. So Cumulus calls you up, and what do they say to you?
It was a fascinating phone call. I was on the air that morning. It was a Wednesday morning. And then a few hours later, I think it was 3 or 4 in the afternoon, I got a phone call from Jeff Bowden. And yes, I'm naming names.
Good.
Jeff Bowden, who is the vice president of the DC operations for Cumulus Media, and Kristen Francelis, who is the vice president of human resources for Cumulus. As soon as I heard HR, I knew I was screwed, because that's kind of how it goes.
Right. If you're
in front, you never want to be in front of HR. But during the phone call, it was very short. They told me that they were made aware of this tweet that I sent on March 1st, that it was racist, and that subsequent attempts to defend myself and mock the people who were trying to cancel me were a violation of the social media policy, and that I was terminated effective immediately. I would get nothing else from the station except my last pay stub, and I was off the air, and that was that. They didn't offer me a chance to defend myself. Nobody else on the show knew what was going on. The program manager at WML didn't know what was going on. This was completely out of the blue from corporate. And at the end of the phone call, I said, I would really like to put a statement on the record, if I may. I think it's important that my voice gets heard on this issue. And I spoke for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, pretty much the exact same things that I'm telling you now, because I wanted them to hear my perspective on what I thought was a very unjust firing. And at the end of it, the HR woman, Kristen, said, okay, thank you, and goodbye. Don't let the door hit you on the way.
Now, Cumulus is run by a radical lefty.
Yes.
What's her name?
Her name is Mary Berner. She's the CEO. She makes $1.5 million a year of a base salary, about $6 or $7 million total if you count all the stock options that she gets from Cumulus Media. And I've heard from actually other Cumulus employees who have mentioned that she apparently has a transgender child herself and will often brag on company meetings about it. And
she's a lesbian, right?
I have no idea.
Okay, Mary Berner, right?
Mary Berner.
Do you know if this was from her? Were the orders given down from Mary Berner?
We still don't know.
To get rid of you?
A lot of people have tried to speculate about where the firing actually came from and get a name responsible for it, and to this day there has been zero transparency.
We haven't finished yet. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay on this channel. We'll be back in a moment.
Presidents of America First are brought to you in part by Stand With Israel Tour.
The CDC has been very clear, as you've indicated, that in fact, if things turned around and you have a rather substantial uptick in cases that is associated with an increase in hospitalizations, the CDC might turn around that recommendation and say, we've got to go back to indoor masks. I think there's going to be a lot of pushback on the part of the American public in doing that, although it would be the prudent thing to do.
You heard it. He's trying to be relevant again. Indoor masks. Aren't you so excited? I thought he disappeared. Let's get back to something far more important than the little fascist Fauci. Amber Athey is in studio. She has the politics culture beat, you know, small things like that at The Spectator. You can follow her, Amber_Athey. That's A-T-H-E-Y. We're talking about her run-in with the crazy, extremist, intolerant Cumulus owners like Mary Berner. Amber, so you've said in the break, as we keep the mics on for our Rumble, guys, if you're just listening to the radio, check out the feed. Go to rumble.com/Seb Gorka. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. You said you're going to drop the bomb on them. So what have you been doing since they called up and said, jokes on Twitter about Kamala? Not allowed. You're fired.
Well, as soon as I exhausted all of my potential legal options and allowed the hosts to work internally to see if they could get me back on air, I decided to go public with this to warn other people about what could potentially happen. I have no illusions that I'm going to get my job back, right? I mean, I've embarrassed them publicly.
Yeah.
They'd be really stupid, dumber than they were firing me to bring me back. But I have a couple of goals. One is I want them to realize that if they thought they were taking the easy way out by firing me and giving in to half a dozen of these radical activists who emailed them, they're going to get 100 times, if not 1,000 times, more pressure from conservatives who are really, really angry about what they did.
Well, this is the weird thing. You look at Disney, you look at the massive franchises that have been killed because of wokeness, whether it's Star Trek, Star Wars, you name it. Talk radio is conservative. I mean, the libs have tried it. It's a disaster every time. We own one part of the culture, and it's talk radio. And to have leftist crazies like the head of Cumulus, like Mary Berner, fire people because they're conservatives and they don't follow their party line, they're basically killing the golden calf, are they not?
They absolutely are. They make the vast majority of their money over at Cumulus from conservative talent.
Right.
So if you're going to sit there and tell them that no matter whether or not what they say is racist or not, if it has the perception of being racist to certain people who are bad faith actors, then we're going to fire you. That is the destruction of political commentary. There would be no Rush Limbaugh. There would be no Ben Shapiro. There'd be no Seb Gorka. There would be no Dan Bongino. All of these hosts.
I don't work for Cumulus.
No.
I'm just saying.
Just pointing out.
But
that's the standard.
I gotta give full credit. Dan Bongino, Chris Plant, these are all Cumulus. Larry O'Connor, they're taking the fight to their intolerant overlord. So what's your plan? First things first. I'm going to just read out the contact details for Cumulus.
Thank you.
Maybe
yes.
You should tell them what you think of Amber being fired for making a joke about the bad pantsuit that the cackler was wearing. You can go to press@cumulus.com. You can write them a letter at 780 Johnson Ferry Road, Northeast, Atlanta, Georgia, 30342, or just go to cumulusmedia.com. All the details are there. Cumulus with a C, like the cloud, cumulusmedia.com, and you can actually write them an email. What would you like our millions of listeners and viewers to do?
Absolutely that. And I would also say that, you know, the left, I think what they do usually is terrible and for awful reasons, but they've given us a really nice blueprint about how to affect change in this country when you don't actually have political power. So why don't people, if they're not comfortable boycotting, why don't they boycott? Listen to other radio stations. Find other hosts that you
Ooh.
Like. That's part of it. Stop listening. Two, why don't you find out who advertises on WMAL and maybe ask them what they think about this situation? I have a pretty good feeling, knowing some of those people who buy ads on that network, they actually agree with a lot of the values that are being espoused, and that's why they like to spend their money there. If they find out that Cumulus is actively undermining those values, I think they might have a problem with that.
Funny how that works. Let's play hardball. Or, you know, my company, Salem, could maybe poach some of these people. Just a thought, guys. You know who you are. Dave, Phil, Tom, Ed, you know who you are. We've been talking to Amber Athey. The discussion has just started. But follow her on Twitter, Washington editor for The Spectator. And let's send a message to cumulusmedia.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Your call's next. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. You know me, guys. I'm skeptical. Not cynical. Skeptical by nature. So when I first heard of the threat home title theft, I asked myself, is this for real? Can some cyber hacker really forge my name off the title of my home and take over as the new owner? Well, it turns out they can. Real estate crimes and losses are rare, right? Wrong. According to the FBI, this crime is growing faster than credit card fraud, and you're not covered by homeowners insurance or common identity theft programs. Home Title Lock has earned my trust and puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect anyone tampering with your home's title, they mobilize to shut them down. Now, you need to go to HomeTitleLock.com, read the testimonials from FBI agents, government officials, and customers, then register your home address to see if you've already been a victim and don't even know it. Then it's time to protect your home. Go to TitleLock.com and use promo code G-O-R-K-A to make sure they don't steal your most valuable asset. That's HomeTitleLock.com, code Gorka.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.